now time for another edition of the Rebel Wives Live podcast, presented by Rebels 247 of the 24/7 Sports Network. Complete coverage of Ole Miss athletics and recruiting news from the Rebels 247 staff, David Johnson, Michael Court, and Dave Bevin. Rebel Wives Live is also available free in the iTunes store. Now, here's your host, David Johnson.
Edition of the Rebel Rise Live podcast. Hello, everyone. I'm David Johnson, along with Dave Bevin and Michael Quirk on this Good Friday, and we certainly hope it will be for the Ole Miss Rebel baseball team. This SEC Super Series that got underway at Swayze Field Thursday night, not going the way of the Rebels as they're defeated by South Carolina 5-1. Ole Miss loses for the third time this season. They fall to 2-2 inside the SEC, and South Carolina stays one of the hottest teams in the nation. But Michael Quirk, who had a front row seat to all of the action last night, is with us today. And, Michael, the Rebels get a chance to kind of even things up tonight at 6:30 at Swayze Field. A little chilly in Oxford, but beautiful weather nonetheless, jacket weather, so to speak. Fireworks after the game tonight, and I suppose Ole Miss fans are hoping those fireworks will be celebratory as the Gamecocks and the Rebels square off and Ole Miss needing a win.
Yeah, absolutely. And last night's score was Coach Bianco summed it up perfectly when he said it all came down to who got the timely hits, because, you know, Ole Miss had a great outing from the bullpen. Parkinson gave 4 1/3 innings, gave up just the one run, and then Wolfo came and got the final out of the game for South Carolina. But, you know, they got 11 hits. They got some good at-bats there. They hit the ball hard. They just went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position when South Carolina got 4 such hits. And the Rebels played very well on defense. J.B. Woodman, of course, had the assist from center field, throwing out the guy at home for the inning-ending double play. And Brady Bramlett picked off a runner trying to steal second. It was just one of those games where, you know, the ball was hit in the right place. You got to credit South Carolina for that. There were two RBI singles that were hit just on the other side of Tate Blackman. He was shaded towards second base, and they were hit right where Blackman is usually playing. So it's just, you know, just one of those days. And now Chad Smith will get the ball tonight, trying to even this one up. He'll be going up against Braden Webb, who's pitched remarkably well for the Gamecocks. And it should be a heck of a duel tonight. And, you know, you see the resiliency of this team within ball games and within series, how they rebounded from their last couple losses. And they lost at Louisville, or to Louisville 4-0. They came back the next day, went down in a 2-0 hole, and then came back and played a great game. You saw that that they pitched really well and played good defense and got timely hits on that Sunday game against Louisville. And then Saturday against Tennessee, they hit the heck out of the ball and had a great day from the bullpen. And so, you know, you'll see some of the resiliency from this team, and it'll really be tested because, you know, South Carolina is the only 4-0 team in the SEC, and they can really play, and they have a lot of good pitching, so it'll certainly be a big game tonight.
Michael, take us back to last night. It's a Thursday night. School, of course, out today for Good Friday. A lot of the students heading home for the Easter holidays. What was the crowd like at Swayze? Was it a palpable home field advantage for the Rebels, and what are you expecting tonight?
No, there really wasn't a big crowd. It was a little bit of a surprise. The student section was full, but it wasn't overflowing like you would sort of expect for a series like this. And for instance, how it was against Louisville, where it's just spilling out into center field. And so it wasn't really that packed. The seats itself weren't even close to full. And of course, when the Gamecocks got an early 2-0 lead in the first, they got that. They got their third run of the game in the second, and the crowd really wasn't too into the game. There wasn't a home field advantage. Certainly a smaller crowd than I was expecting, but it figures to, you know, get bigger crowds since it will be a Friday game tonight, and as well as a Saturday game tomorrow. You'll get a lot of the actual seats in the stadium filled up, and the students that can come out will come out. So I expect it to be bigger crowds tonight and tomorrow.
You know, this South Carolina pitching staff is absolutely incredible. The Ole Miss pitching staff's done a whale of a job so far this season. But when you look at South Carolina, and, of course, they throw their ace out there last night, and he got the job done. But tonight, this Braden Webb kid, 4-1, 1.71 earned run average, as you mentioned. But opponents only hitting 147 against Webb. So Ole Miss struggled to find the timely hits last night. Tonight may be the same song and dance if the bats aren't hot.
Yeah, you'll certainly see them getting tested. Luckily, you know, guys like J.B. Woodman and Henry Lartigue had solid nights last night. Woodman had, two hits on the evening, and Henry Lartigue went 4-for-4, and they're going to need to stay hot. Tate Blackman and Colby Bortles hit the ball hard a couple times, particularly Bortles, and he really needs to get those to drop. And of course, Errol Robinson has had a struggle to start the year, hitting, I believe, in the 220s or the 230s. And he's really got to get going at the top of the lineup. And it's interesting to see that flip between Golston and Robinson that you'll see every now and again. When Golston's traditionally hitting better when he's in that two-hole and he has the protection of J.B. Woodman behind him by seeing better pitches. And that's sort of what the coaching staff is hoping will happen for Robinson, is that he'll get those better pitches with Woodman right behind him. They're certainly going to need to string together some hits. Like Coach Bianco alluded to last night, 11 hits is nice, but it really doesn't matter when you can't get them in big spots and you can't string them together and you can't get them at the big time. And as we know, that South Carolina is a team that, you know, can do that and will do that against you. And Chad Smith going against Braden Webb, Chad Smith's been his best twice this year when he went up against then number 18 Coastal Carolina and then number 2 Louisville. Those are the best two outings he's had so far this year. And so you know that Smith isn't going to shy away from a big matchup. You know he's going to be ready to go tonight. Kid's an absolute bulldog, really, really aggressive pitcher who will go right at you. And that's what you have to do with the South Carolina, who's pretty patient up there at the plate.
Texas A&M defeated LSU 6-1 last night. It was Mississippi State 9, Georgia 2. A full slate of SEC games on the ledger tonight. Of course, South Carolina here in Oxford to play Ole Miss. LSU and A&M, Georgia at Mississippi State, Florida is at Kentucky, Vandy is at Missouri, Auburn at Arkansas, and Tennessee at Alabama. Some of the SEC schools decided to start this weekend series on Thursday due to the Easter holidays. Michael, one more thing about baseball before we move on. Do we know anything yet about Sunday's scheduled starter, Saturday's scheduled starter for Ole Miss? Will it be Sean Johnson? Will it be Pagnozzi? Did you learn anything regarding that last night?
It's still being kept under wraps a little bit within the program, but fully expect to see Pagnozzi get the nod tomorrow. You know, Sean Johnson, has he's pitched a lot of innings so far coming off of Tommy John's. This could just be a break for him so that he doesn't overexert himself. And Pagnozzi's certainly been auditioning for a Sunday spot in the rotation. So fully expect to see Pagnozzi go tomorrow.
I want to go to Dave Bevan now. Dave, I know you're working on a story that will be up over the weekend on Rebels 247 about pipeline high schools into the Ole Miss football program. Tell us a little bit about what you discovered in your research. What high schools are supplying the Rebels with the numbers, so to speak?
Well, Ole Miss has definitely developed pipelines. And when you look at pipelines, those territories that coaches, you know, develop relationships with those prospects, with those coaches, and you know, they can continue to go back and succeed in reloading talent. And Ole Miss has had some success over the years in that. Within the inside the Magnolia State, Ole Miss has shown a lot of success in signing prospects out of South Panola, North Panola, Lafayette High School, just, you know, a few miles within Oxford. And then, of course, you have Callaway in the Jackson area, Rod Taylor, Breland Speaks. Those highly talented players come from Callaway. Ole Miss has also, you know, extended offers to some highly talented targets in the upcoming class at Callaway. 2017 three-star defensive end Aaron Odom is one, and then you look at 2018 four-star wide receiver Malik Heath. It has also received an offer from Ole Miss. So Ole Miss, inside the walls of Mississippi, those are your four schools that has produced a lot of talent and has chosen the Rebels during the freeze era. Now, if you look during the freeze era, Ole Miss has had a lot of success in the state of Georgia. Stockbridge High School, which has developed talents as Kendarius Webster, Charles Wiley. And then you look out at Texas as well. Ole Miss is also starting to develop pipelines in Allen, Texas, with the signings of Greg Little and then Jalen Jones out there in Allen, Texas. There's also a 2018 highly talented running back, Kirby Benton, that Ole Miss has offered recently out of Allen, Texas. And then you look at Manville High School, where Ole Miss signed Devon Penamon and Deontay Anderson in the 2016 class. That's another pipeline that is developing with Ole Miss. And Ole Miss has already extended an offer earlier this month for 2017 four-star safety Derek Tucker out of Ole Miss, or out of Manville, sorry. And I got a chance to talk with Tucker last weekend, and he's being recruited right now by Grant Hurd, wide receivers coach at Ole Miss. And he tells me that his former teammates, Devon Penamon and Deontay Anderson, are both recruiting him as well, as they are in their final months of staying there at Manville High School before they enroll at Ole Miss early this summer.
All right, so be looking for Dave Bevin's story on Rebels 247 over the weekend on Ole Miss pipeline schools and who is who's hot for Ole Miss. You mentioned Callaway, but I got to tell you, the coaching change down there kind of concerns you a little bit as to whether or not Ole Miss will be able to kind of keep its camp set up in Callaway High School, or if that'll start swaying towards Mississippi State. Only time will tell. Turning to the hoops side of things, Ole Miss with a big recruit on campus as we speak, former New Mexico Lobo standout Cullen Neal in Oxford right now. Neal has 2 years of eligibility left, and he is a guy who will be immediately eligible. He will graduate from New Mexico in June with a communications degree, so he's a postgraduate transfer. Averaged 12.3 points, 3.7 assists per game for New Mexico with 31 starts this past season. So we'll see how Ole Miss does with Cullen Neal on campus this weekend. Now, Michael, I'm not expecting Cullen Neal to make any kind of commitment this weekend. He has a visit set up to Texas A&M on April the 8th. He'll be there in College Station. That's probably not going to be his last visit either. Schools that have contacted New Mexico about permission to talk to Cullen Neal, the list is lengthy. Georgia Tech, Purdue, of course, Ole Miss and A&M, as we've mentioned, BYU, Utah, New Mexico State, Memphis, Butler, Wake Forest, Xavier, Chaminade University of Honolulu, Western Kentucky, Toledo, Miami, Vanderbilt, Pittsburgh, Evansville, Florida, and Hawaii. Some of these schools still playing in either the NIT or the NCAA tournament that Neal will probably go and take a look-see at. So not expecting Cullen Neal to commit to Ole Miss this weekend with all of that still left in front of him, but you never know. You know, guys get on campus and things can happen, but Michael, my question for you is, a seasoned, proven Division I starter like Cullen Neal, mentioned, he averaged more than 12 points per game for a pretty darn good New Mexico program, 31 starts this past season. What would that mean to Andy Kennedy and his basketball program if they were able to sway Cullen Neal to, you know, wave the white flag this weekend and go, hey, I'm here, I found my home, I'm going to be an Ole Miss Rebel? What would that mean for his program?
It would certainly be an infusion of talent that would be welcome in Oxford. I mean, not only is the kid talented, but he's a coach's son. And not only is he talented, not only is he well coached and in a bright kid and bright player, but I mean he's coming off of a rough situation out in New Mexico where he was getting death threats. Fans were sending death threats his way. And so, you know, there's got to be a chip on his shoulder to prove himself. And you can get a player like that. I mean, this would be the most highly regarded transfer prospect Ole Miss has gotten other than, of course, Jalen Kendrick, who, as we know, that did not pan out for a whole bunch of other reasons. But, getting a guy like Neal would be huge for this program. And pairing him with another scoring threat like DeAndre Burnett would certainly make Ole Miss a viable threat in the SEC, especially when you look at who else they return in the front court with guys like Sebastian Saiz and Markandis Hines. So if they can get him, it should be another 20-win season for the Rebels, and they'll definitely be threatening for an NCAA tournament berth in 2017. You there?
I'm not sure if we lost David.
Guys, I'm sorry. Great. Having a little bit of technical difficulty here on my end, but I'm back. You bring up the death threat situation on Cullen Neal and all the bad things going on out there. Elaborate that a little bit more. Of course, his dad is the coach of the team, Craig Neal, but talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, so, of course, you have He is a coach's son, and that puts you in sort of a strange situation there, and you see it so often with kids at college programs. You know, luckily you've seen some guys at Ole Miss get some negative heat thrown away from fans and fellow students, but you know it's sort of disgusting to see this type of stuff happening. And it's just a basketball game, but there were a lot of threats made to him for, you know, really just play on the court, and so he made the decision to get out of there, and I frankly can't blame him on that front.
You know, and that goes to a larger issue in general with college athletics nowadays, and I tend to rather quickly place the blame on social media and the anonymity afforded to people on social media, but they say things that are just absolutely outrageous, ridiculous, hurtful, harmful, all behind the veil of anonymity. And I just don't think that's good for society in general. You know, you can sit back with a Twitter account and be totally anonymous, and you can get on Twitter and you can rail on people as much as you want to without anything to back up what you're saying. You're not going to have to prove yourself out. There's nothing they can do from a libel or slander standpoint against you. And it's absolutely, I think it's sickening what you see said about some of these young men playing college athletics. And whether you're talking about in the arena of athletics or politics or whatever, you know, you don't have to put your name on it. Everybody's 10-foot tall and courageous with what they have to say, and it does cross the line at times. And when you're talking about death threats on a college athlete, you know, whoever does that should not have a Twitter account. They ought to have to go to jail. I mean, it's absolutely – if you walked in a bar and found a college athlete in there and in front of everybody in there you said, hey, I'm going to kill you, I think you can go to jail for that. But if you get on Twitter and say it, nobody takes it seriously. Same thing. And you get away with it. and I don't know what the answer is, but I mean, Dave, it just seems like social media ruins good things all too often.
It does. You know, it's a proven point that you know, words can be more harsh than anything. And in this day of social media, to where you can just reach out to anybody, what you say, you know, towards someone can just really affect their daily lives. And in this case, as Michael pointed out, with the death threats, you know, that there is, you know, come to reason to believe that that was the reason why he has since deleted all of his social media accounts, Colin Neal. You know, deleting his Facebook, Twitter account, so he doesn't have to deal with those types of reactions. You see it, you know, happen in recruiting when a player decommits from a university or chooses the opposing rival team as their future school of choice. You also see it in where athletes, if it comes down to the wire in a game and you know, their particular spot during the game takes an impact towards the game. I can't remember the kicker's name, but I remember a few years back, Boise State kicker, you know, his final kick decided the game in their bowl game, decided their season. And he received a lot of harsh death threats on you know, and a harsh feedback on social media for that performance. And you just have to remember that, you know, it is just a game, and you are affecting, you know, a human being's life by making these, you know, types of threats or, you know, scrutiny towards that player prospect.
Now, Michael, let's peel the layer of the onion back a little bit more here. Colin Neal, by everything you can read and everything you see on Colin Neal's career through high school and at New Mexico, he's got a little bit, just a tad bit, of Marshall Henderson in him, does he not? He has been described as braggadocious, you know, the kind of guy that is a lightning rod for criticism that people love or hate. Do you see that in Colin Neal? Is there a little bit of that Marshall Henderson flair inside this prospect that Andy Kennedy wants to bring into his program?
Yeah, there's I was just about to say, where have we seen this before? A coach's son who's a spot-up, high-volume shooting guard who turns the ball over some, who was recently described in an editorial by a local newspaper out in New Mexico as a mouthy brat. Where have we heard someone who may fit that bill before? So it's he's definitely got some Marshall in him, and I think that Marshall Henderson sort of falls into the Dexter McCluster realm for Ole Miss fans, where it was so exciting to see them, and every time they touched the ball, just everyone stopped what they were doing and watching. And you keep sitting around waiting and watching for another Dexter McCluster, another Marshall Henderson. So if he does indeed decide to come to Ole Miss, let's hope that he doesn't suffer the same fate that everyone pegged as the next Dexter McCluster has suffered, but ends up having a pretty solid last 2 years in Oxford.
I'm still not sure why you're mixing Dexter up in all of this, but nevertheless.
Well, you know, when McCluster was at Ole Miss and everyone sort of pegged all these different recruits, whether it's Corvick Need or Jeff Scott or Jalen Walton, kept being pegged.
Yeah, that's the next
one.
He's
the next Dexter McCluster.
Right. Well, an interesting tale is that of Colin Neal, who is in Oxford as we speak on this Friday afternoon, arrived on Thursday. And we'll see. It'll be interesting. Again, I don't think anything is going to happen on his visit here as he is scheduled to be in College Station on April the 8th. And then his father has said he's probably going to take other visits. It's an odd situation for his dad, Craig Neal, as well, the head coach at New Mexico. Basically, you know, wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the wall discussions between father and son about – the career turn that Cullen was going to have to take. And I obviously both of them felt it would be best that he leave New Mexico. And that is exactly what he's doing via the NCAA postgraduate transfer rule. That means you do not have to sit out a year. So we'll have much more on Cullen Neal once his visit is complete over the weekend. He's scheduled to be in town through Saturday, and we'll report it all to you on Rebels 247. Again, Michael Quirk will be on the front row of the press box tonight at Swayze Field as the Ole Miss Rebel baseball team tries to even things up with South Carolina. That is number 6 Ole Miss versus number 10 South Carolina, depending on what poll you want to flavor this week. And what we do at Rebels 247, we're going to go with the highest ranking Ole Miss has. That'll be the poll that we refer to throughout each and every week of the baseball season. We're going to cut it a little bit short today, so right now it's time for closing thoughts. We'll go first to our good buddy Dave Bevan. Dave, your closing thoughts.
Just enjoying this Friday, David, especially with upcoming Easter coming up. Looking forward to the weekend, spending that time with my family. Going to do a little bit of egg hunting. And I just wish everybody out there a safe and happy weekend and a happy Easter. And look forward to Ole Miss baseball tonight, and hopefully the Rebels can turn it around tonight.
And, Dave, are you actually going to hunt eggs?
I'm going to. I may do a little participation myself. You know, I've got the majority of my children. I got 5. Most of them are young. So, you know, to be able to walk around and you know, see the expression on their face of their enjoyment through the entertainment of it all. You know, that's what it's all about, and I look forward to it.
Did you get you some new Easter digs, new Easter shirts or trousers or anything of that nature?
Nah, I will probably I love to dress up for Easter each year, and we'll definitely go to church on Sunday. So I'll be sporting a, you know, tie, maybe a nice suit on Easter Sunday, but no bunny ears or you know, bunny jumpsuit or anything like that. I won't be playing the Easter Bunny this year or anything.
Maybe something made out of velvet or velour, something rather swag right there. All right, Michael Quirk, your closing thoughts.
I'm also excited for Easter to get here. I gave up all sodas for Lent, and the last time I did it, I lost 10 pounds without altering anything else in my diet. So hopefully I've been able to trim a few this time, but it's been difficult because I love Dr. Pepper, Sunkissed, Coke, all that. So it's been and my drink of choice a lot of times at when I'm out and about on the town is a Jack and Coke, and haven't been able to do any Jack and Coke. So I'm excited to finally get my soda drinking back underway.
Let's start calling you El Diabito there if you don't lay off all of those sugary soft drinks.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like Diet Coke's much better.
Well, I am a diabetic. I have been now for, I guess, about 9 years. So no sugar for me. None in my coffee, none in my tea. I think that's the Guess Who from the 1960s right there. But nevertheless, I'm looking forward to Easter egg hunting. And what I will do, and I'm not in charge of egg hiding anymore. When you have 2 teenagers, they take over that role. They're too cool to hunt Easter eggs, but hiding them right in their wheelhouse. So I'll sit back and watch, and Tori Kate will go find the eggs, and she'll come in the house and play with them for a little while. Then I'll get them all, and I will peel them all, and I will put them in a big glass gallon jar full of vinegar and spices, and I will pickle those eggs, and in about 2 weeks, I'll be eating pickled eggs. So that's my big agenda. Of course, we'll go to church for sunrise service Sunday morning, and always remember the reason for the season. But we wish all of you a very, very happy and prosperous Easter holiday. And we will be live all weekend on Rebels 247. You won't miss a thing. Again, Michael Quirk bringing you all of the action from Swayze Field. Michael, what's that Twitter address again?
That's at QuirkRebels247. Come give me a follow.
And he'll be bringing you play-by-play. I followed him all night last night. I knew everything going on out at Swayze Field. That's going to do it for us today. For our good buddy Dave Bevan, who will be wearing a velvet bunny suit on Sunday for Easter holidays. And we want pictures of that, Dave, by the way.
If I get in that jumpsuit, I'll be sure to send it to you, David.
Well, I don't think we'll be getting those. And Michael Quirk will be spending at least the first part of the weekend at Swayze Field. I'm David Johnson for 247 Sports, and as always, hotty toddy.